This is Rick Pettigrew with a quick look at our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Excavations inside Britain's Exeter Cathedral have revealed some remarkable and long-hidden features. Mexican researchers have uncovered a village from the Teotihuacan period in the Valley of Mexico. The location of the first English slave fort on Africa's west coast now appears to be beneath a later Dutch fort. And a Bronze Age arrowhead found in Switzerland turns out to be made on metal from a meteorite that fell in Estonia. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue this year, including a tour of Andean sites in Peru in October. You can still join us. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of July 30th through August 5th, 2023. We begin the week in England, where archaeologists have made unprecedented discoveries in the 12th century Exeter Cathedral. Excavators have uncovered the original foundations of the church's high altar, a medieval crypt, and the empty tombs of two bishops. As reported by Smithsonian Magazine, investigators uncovered the features while excavating the cathedral's choir, in the center of the church where the choir stalls, high altar, and bishop's throne reside. The dig occurred before the installation of a more environmentally friendly underfloor heating system and major conservation work on the historic building. Exeter Cathedral sits in southwest England in the city of Exeter in Devon. Construction began in 1114 after King Edward the Confessor, who ruled from 1042 to 1066, designated the city as the seat of a bishop in 1050. The original building followed the Norman architectural style of the 12th century. Its two towers and parts of its nave walls still stand today. Between 1270 and 1350, Bishop Branscombe rebuilt most of the cathedral in the decorated Gothic style. Additional remodeling has occurred since, particularly after German bombers in World War II targeted the cathedral. During the new dig, excavators found the buried floors of the Norman Cathedral with the original high altar last seen 700 years ago. According to cathedral archaeologist John Allen, the foundations of this high altar, the most important and usually largest altar in the church, were laid during the original construction 900 years ago. Behind the altar foundations, archaeologists discovered a sunken area that may have contained a subterranean crypt, which was filled in around 1300. This discovery contradicts the long-standing belief that the cathedral didn't initially have a crypt. The dig also yielded two empty tombs lined with stone. These probably belonged to two bishops of Exeter, whose bodies were moved from their original tombs in 1320. The remains were likely moved again to a location that is still unknown. Excavations beneath the choir began by removing the floor placed by restorers in 1962. While lifting the stones and concrete, the team found fragments of a 1962 edition of the Exeter Express and Echo newspaper, along with Victorian tiles from the 19th century choir floor. The cathedral is a Devon landmark, marking the center of a city of importance since the Roman era. The dig, which began last spring, has also yielded the remains of several Roman-era structures, including a street, wooden buildings, and a townhouse. Next, we go to Mexico, where archaeologists from the National Institute of Anthropology and History have found remains of a Teotihuacan village in Mexico City's Tlatelolco area. The village was occupied from AD 450 to 650. It was initially identified during construction in the 1960s, but new excavations have provided a greater understanding. The settlement includes many constructed features, such as floors, stone alignments, post holes, and an artisan well from the Classic period in the late Xolalpan-Metepec phases of the Teotihuacan era. Archaeologists found three human burials accompanied by polished bowls in the Teotihuacan style. As reported by Ancient Origins, the dig lasted from March through June of 2023. The previous 1960s study reported the Tlatelolco settlement as a village of fishermen-gatherers relying on self-subsistence and lake resources. However, the new evidence points to a more complex Teotihuacan economy. Teotihuacan was a powerful city-state with an estimated population of 125,000 inhabitants at its height, making it one of the largest cities of the ancient world. The city featured over 2,000 structures covering over 18 square kilometers or 7 square miles, showcasing the civilization's architectural prowess. According to the directors of the new excavation, the evidence shows the village's economy was not limited to subsistence-level farming, fishing, and gathering, but also included ceramics and specialized stonework production. The fragments of figurines, greenstone artifacts, shells, funerary offerings, and various obsidian and flint projectile points indicate a thriving artisan community. Despite its rural setting, the village maintained crucial connections of exchange and dependency with other Teotihuacan centers along the western shore of Lake Texcoco. The dig also found evidence of Mexica occupation, which started in the late post-classic period, beginning in AD 1338 and ending in 1620, during the early colonial period. The dig also uncovered a network of channels that fed a chinampa system of agriculture. Developed by the Aztecs near Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico, this innovative system used artificial islands on the lake's shallow waters called chinampas to cultivate crops and vegetables. Chinampas were essential to sustain the growing population of the Aztec capital Tenochtitlan and neighboring towns like Tlatelolco. The researchers found numerous ceramic vessels, a headless seated sculpture, and other artifacts from the late Aztec Third Period, lasting from AD 1440 to 1521, within these channels. Our third story takes us to the coast of Ghana, where archaeologists believe they have found the exact location of the first English slave fort in Africa. As reported by the BBC, artifacts from the early fort include a gunflint, tobacco pipes, broken pottery, and animal bones. According to archaeologist Christopher DeCourse of Syracuse University in the United States, the newly discovered remnants point to the location of the first English outpost established in Africa. His new dig is in the ruins of Fort Amsterdam on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean. Archaeologists believe that the remains of Fort Cormentine are inside the Dutch-built fort. Ancient maps place Fort Cormentine here, and the name of the nearby town, Cormontse, is clearly related. Coromanti was another version of the name given to enslaved people in the Caribbean who were likely transported from this place. Until now, the location of the fort remained a matter of speculation. Fort Cormentine was built by the English in 1631 and began as a trading post on the Atlantic coast for gold and ivory. But during this time, Europeans started shifting their interest to the trade in humans. The slave trade started in 1663 when King Charles II granted a charter to the Company of Royal Adventurers of England trading into Africa, later the Royal African Company. He gave it rights over the trade of human beings, and Fort Cormentine transitioned to trafficking people. The Dutch seized Fort Cormentine just 2 years later, but it still played a key role in the slave trade's early stages. The fort served as a warehouse for traded goods and a holding point for kidnapped enslaved people. After capturing the fort, the Dutch built Fort Amsterdam on the same site, which in modern times has become a United Nations World Heritage Site. This designation made excavation hard to arrange. Initial digs in 2019 at Fort Amsterdam yielded early 17th century artifacts, so archaeologists returned earlier this year and began further searches. According to Professor DeCourse, few records suggest exactly what these early outposts of the slave trade looked like. This mystery is one of the things that make uncovering the foundations of Fort Cormantine interesting. The first sign of the foundation was a building stone found by a Nigerian graduate student at the University of Virginia named Omokolade Omigbule. Excavators uncovered a 20-foot-long wall, a doorpost, a drainage system made of red brick, foundations, gunflint, and pipe bowls, all indicating an English presence predating the Dutch fort. Archaeologists will spend the next 3 years trying to discover more about Fort Cormantine and its true significance. We end our work in Switzerland, where a new analysis published in the September edition of the Journal of Archaeological Science confirms that a prehistoric arrowhead was crafted from a meteorite that crashed to Earth 3,500 years ago. Researchers found the arrowhead in the late 1800s in a Bronze Age dwelling in Mürigen, Switzerland. Since then, it's been in the Bern Historical Museum. According to lead author Beda Hoffmann, head and curator of mineralogy and meteorites at the National History Museum of Bern, it looked from the outside like a typical ancient metal arrowhead coated in rust. However, a lot of metal was still preserved, allowing for a detailed study. As the science news site Live Science reported, researchers deployed several methods in the analysis, including X-ray tomography, a computerized imaging technique, and gamma spectrometry. This process detects gamma-emitting radioactive materials. These methods showed the telltale signs of meteorite material. Both aluminum-26 isotopes that don't naturally occur on Earth, and traces of iron and nickel alloy consistent with meteorites. The analysis also revealed grinding marks, which show how the meteorite was shaped into an arrowhead, and the remains of tar, which was likely used to attach the point to the arrow shaft. Scientists initially thought the artifact was linked to the 170,000-year-old Tvanberg meteorite site, less than 5 miles from the Bronze Age house where scientists discovered the arrowhead. However, the concentrations of nickel and germanium in the arrowhead weren't a match for that ancient meteorite site. Undiscouraged, Hoffmann and colleagues referenced a geological database that revealed that the Kalajärv meteorite site in Estonia, located more than 1,400 miles or 2,250 kilometers away, contained similar metals to the artifact. That meteorite weighed 2 tons or 1,800 kilograms. To make the arrowhead, another group must have traded a piece of that metal to Swiss hunters. According to Hoffmann, trade was well established over large distances during the Bronze Age, and early people likely knew the material was precious. Meteoritic arrowheads are exceedingly rare, with only 55 known objects found in Eurasia and Africa across 22 sites. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, check out our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.